Psalm 55 and verse number 22. We're reading from the King James Bible. If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. Psalm 55, verse number 22. And let's read together out loud, please. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm going to talk to you this morning about burdens, and let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for being a wonderful God. We thank you, dear God, for the way you've blessed. First of all, we thank you for salvation, dear Lord, and just thank you for the day that we trusted you as our Savior, as we mentioned in the adult Bible study this morning. Oh, Lord, what a great salvation we have, and Lord, we so often, unfortunately, neglect it, and Lord, how little we tell of it and tell the gospel to others. Lord, help us to tell the gospel to others. And dear God, thank you again for the Word of God and for church. Thank you for the King James Bible. Now, dear God, please bless this morning. Speak to our hearts about burdens. And Lord, I pray that this will be a help. I think it will be if we just pay attention and learn and grow. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 55 and verse number 22. David writes, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know, there are certain animals called beasts of burden. In other words, you know, like a donkey maybe, an ox. Think about horses like the Clydesdale horses. These are, and other animals also, and especially in other foreign lands like in Africa, they have an elephant that does work. And, you know, you might have some other different animals that do other labor for people. These are beasts of burden where they either carry a lot of weight, pull a lot of weight, or they run a mill. You know, have you ever seen an old-fashioned mill where an animal, a big ox or something, is tied to a pole, and they turn, they walk around it where the mill grinds the corn into flour, whatever it is, the wheat into flour. But these are beasts of burden. That's because these animals are large, or at least they're strong enough where they can carry weight to make it easier for an individual to carry loads from one place to another. We've gone away from that with the advent of electricity and power. Everything is push button or switches, you know. You start the ignition in your car with a key. You don't even think about loads or burdens. Well, the closer we come to is how many horsepower your car has, you know. But you don't think about pushing it or pulling things for the most part, unless you're doing physical work. But I want to talk to you this morning about burdens and how they relate to individuals in their lives. God gives us strength for every burden that he gives us. Because we live in a immature society, religious and non-religious, most people shirk their responsibility and walk away from the burden or the cross that God has given you. And a lot of people, that's why a lot of people have forsaken the old-fashioned church today, because it takes hard work, responsibility, and character to be an old-fashioned Bible-believing believer. It's easy to go into a charismatic or Pentecostal church and jump up and down for 30 or 60 minutes, sweat like a pig, and think that you came out of there glorifying God. Any immature person can do that. It's easy to just punch your ticket at some dead theology, whether it be Catholicism or Orthodox or whatever it is, you just punch a ticket, sit there for like 30 minutes, 60 minutes, like a bump on a log, and didn't learn from the Bible, didn't hear anything from the Bible, weren't convicted of your sin. It's easy to sit through something like that and just say, well, I did my religious duty. What you see happening in America today, and even in our churches, is because of our lack of maturity and a lack of responsibility, people have gravitated to things that are less mature. A baby, when it's born, has one of the first signs of you knowing your baby's doing okay is looking and waiting for the day that your baby lifts its head up. Amen. Oh, and you mark that down. Amen. And then the day when the baby pushes on its side. Oh, you mark that down. Oh, Johnny lifted up his head this day. And Johnny turned over on this day. And Johnny stood up on this day. And Johnny walked the first steps on this day. And you mark those days down. And some people have markings on the wall. You know, they measure how high their son or their daughter is. And they measure them by growth. They have like a yardstick growing up on the wall or sometimes in a doorway. And they measure their growth. Because growth is slow. Growth is incremental. As a matter of fact, usually growth is so slow you can't even see it. It's only when you're removed away from the person that's growing after you've seen them months later or years later, if they were a baby, a toddler, a little boy or girl, or a teenager, say, wow, you really grew. But a mother or father daily feeding them and taking care of them or interacting with them, they don't get to see their growth because you just can't see how incremental it is. You can't see it. But the growth is there. An Olympian, all you see is once every 4 years. Somebody who tries out for the Olympics and shoots for the gold medal, the silver medal, the bronze medal, and you root for them, all you see them is once every 4 years. What you do not see is the intervening four-year period where they're working out every single day to get stronger, where they build up muscles, whatever, whether it's a discus throw, the javelin throw, whether it's a runner, whether it's a high jumper, whether it's a weightlifter. What you don't see is the agony of the burdens that they're working out with on a daily basis. You think your burdens are too much. I'm here to tell you, no, your vision of God is too little. Your burdens are not too heavy. It's your relationship with God that has not allowed you to properly carry that load with Jesus Christ. You could carry any load that God gives you. We, because we're immature, we walk away from that responsibility. That's why people walk away from their marriages. That's why people walk away from their families. That's why people walk away from their work. That's why people walk away from their church. That's why people walk away from God, because they're too immature and say, I can't take this anymore. And they can't, because without God, you're not going to be able to take it. And this is, by the way, this is why people snap, ladies and gentlemen. This is why people can't take pressure, ladies and gentlemen. This is why people say, I can't do this. Yes, you can do it. I think one of the most important statements anyone ever said to me was during court reporting school. I was going to court reporting school at nighttime, take two nights a week, then three nights a week in South Jersey when I started court reporting. And I remember my teacher, Phil Feldman, working for federal courts in Philadelphia. He used to say this with a squeaky voice, short Jewish fellow. He'd say, if I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And I said to myself, I said, sure can, man. If that guy can do it, I can do it. Why can't I do it? Took me a little longer. Took 2.5 years or so for me to finish, almost 3 years really, because I had to work, pay the bills, and continue school. But my thinking was, if that fella can do it, I can do it. I just maybe have to work a little harder. But if he can go through the same pressure and finish school and get a job like that, well, so can I. If he can have strenuous homework and practice, I said, so can I. Well, you have to believe that you have the ability, that God has given you that ability to do whatever God has given you to do. Don't shirk away from it. Don't say, I can't do it, it's not for me. If God's given you, let me tell you something. If God's given you children, then you have the responsibility and you have the ability to take care of those children. Or God wouldn't have given you those children. Man's name was Paul Anderson. Mr. Anderson was born in 1932 in Georgia. In 1955, Mr. Anderson lifted 402 pounds in Russia. He won the gold medal. In 1956, with a 104-degree fever, he won the gold medal. And he only weighed 304 pounds. Here's a man that lifted more than his weight. A Christian, man who was saved. As a matter of fact, they showcased him on Unshackled, if you know that program there. I'm just saying, Paul Anderson was a strong man. He died 60 or 61 years old, but he used to go around the country giving his testimony and being the... He is in the record books as the man who lifted more weight than any other human being, Paul Anderson. He did a back lift on June 12, 1957 that is listed in the Guinness Book of World Records, listed as the greatest weight ever lifted by a human being. Here's a man that lifted more than his own weight. You say, how can you do that? Wouldn't the pressure kill him? That load, that weight, just like you think it's going to kill you. No. You have to train and grow and eat and train and grow and eat and train and grow. And you'll be surprised. You'll become stronger. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 6, please. Proverbs chapter number 6. My Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Don't you think God can help you lift that burden? Don't you think God can carry that burden for you? And he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, the Bible says. Proverbs chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse number 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. I think, I'm not mistaken, the ant is the strongest animal or insect, whatever you want to call it, being on planet Earth. Compared to its weight, it can lift up to 6 times its own weight. That's why you ever see an ant carrying a piece of crumb or something like that on the ground, and you just stomp at it, you know, stomp it out, try to kill them all. Instead of sitting there, God says, look at the ant and learn from it. They never stop. They go back and forth. You may try to interrupt them. You may try to snuff them out. You may try to do all kinds of things to interrupt their life. They're going to go right back and do their work. And God says to the sluggard, oh, lazy one, look at the ant, he says. Amen. Verse number 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, people who say, I can't take this pressure, usually are lazy people. They don't work. People say, I can't take all this. I don't know what to do with this. Are people too lazy to read their Bibles to find the answers? Are people too lazy to pray and spend time with God? Are people too lazy to come to God's house to listen to a sermon like this to learn how to carry your own burdens, or rather have God carry your burdens for you? You know why? Because coming to church takes work. Amen. Whether it's a bus or a van or getting your own family together, it takes work. Amen. And Americans are adverse to work today. They don't want to work. They don't want to put too much. You want to snap your fingers, put it in a microwave, and pop it out 30 seconds later and say, have it there. No, that's not what God's like. You want to get your riches by gambling or playing the lottery, huh? You want to rub some ticket off to get some money instead of God says work, labor, work, labor, work, save, invest. That's what God's program is. And the problem is, most people are too lazy. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, in boot camp, you're in good shape when you come out 3 months later, amen. Usually you're in good shape. So I had no problem running. We used to run, I don't know, 5-10 miles when we were in boot camp. I mean, and no problem at all. It wouldn't bother me at all. But, you know, after I got out, I was assigned to the staff judge advocate's office where the legal, you know, the lawyers are and stuff like that. And so when you get into that kind of an office atmosphere, you just don't work out as much. You don't go in the field as often. And you don't run as diligently as other people in the other units do. And then when it came time to take the 3-mile run, I noticed that, you know what? I couldn't run it in 18 minutes, which was the best you could do. They measured your time 18 minutes and up. In other words, if you came in under 18 minutes, they just put 18 minutes, you finished 18 minutes. And I remember the first time after boot camp, I ran it like 18 and a half minutes. I was shocked. I said, wow. So you know what I did? I went to the gym. Yeah, you know what I did? I started pumping iron on my legs. You know what I did? Every single day. Until the next time I ran the three mile. Guess what? I came way under 18 minutes. Then I don't remember what the time was, 17 minutes, 17 and a half minutes. I have no idea. But it was a lot under 18 minutes. You know what the difference was? I willingly, because I had a goal, because I wanted to come under 18 minutes, I willingly went to the gym on my spare time outside of work, worked out and sweated and hurt and pained myself so that my muscles would grow, so that when I would run, it would be easier for me. Well, the reason why life is so difficult for people, because they don't want to work out on their own spiritually. It takes too much time to read your Bible on your own. It takes too much time to pray on your own. It takes too much time. This is why people say, oh, I don't need church. Oh, yeah? Find out where they end up 10 or 20 years later. Amen. Find out what's happening with their lives 10, 20, 30 years later. Anybody can say, I don't need church. It takes too much to get ready, to brush your teeth, to wash yourself up, get dressed, get the kids ready, get your husband ready, get your wife ready, get the kids ready, get your clothes ready, get everybody in a suit and tie, you know, dress properly to church. It takes a lot of work to do that. Sure, lazy people don't want to do that. Sure, people would rather sit in bed, turn the TV, the idiot box on, and watch some fake, phony, fraud, charismatic fella tell you how to speak in tongues. Yeah, that's real popular today. Let me tell you something, because people are lazy. They don't want to read their Bible. And those are the people that can't take, those are the people who leave their wives and leave their husbands and leave their families and then leave their God. Because it's true with their own character, they're too weak when it comes to spiritual matters. Working out physically, nothing wrong with it. But 1 Timothy 4:8 says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Little. I'm not saying you shouldn't be healthy. I'm not saying you shouldn't be in shape. But that's little. It only helps a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about spiritual growth. I'm talking about spiritual burdens. I'm talking about spiritual loads that you are supposed to carry for God. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Again, it's little by little. So little that you can't see the growth. I didn't see my muscles growing until the next time I took a test. That's like people going to school, children going to school, they go to first grade. What's after first grade? Oh, pretty smart. So what's after second grade? Wow, a few more caught on. So what's after third grade? Fourth. More people know the answers now. So you don't go from third grade to seventh grade, do you? Huh. You go one grade at a time, right? Because the books are prepared in such a way that they give you the next level in whatever subject you're learning. Whether it's math, whether it's history, whether it's language or English, they give it to you step by step. So hopefully, by the time you graduate high school, you'll be able to speak English properly, amen? Hopefully, I said. I didn't say public schools. I didn't say government schools. But look at this. Exodus 23, verse number 30. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. You know what God says? In verse 29, he says, when all your enemies are around you, you go into the promised land, he says, you're not going to be able to get them all out all at once and snap your fingers. They're not all going to be gone. Just like you want to wave your wand or snap your fingers and all your problems are going to be gone. That's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to have those burdens. God wants you to have those problems. You know why? It'll help you to grow. If you didn't have the problems, then you wouldn't go to God and ask God for the wisdom that you need for the problems that God's given you. Why do you want to get rid of the problems that God's given you? You ought to solve the problems. And I don't ask God to take away any problems I have. I ask God to give me more strength to deal with the problems. Because if I ask God to take the weight away, I could never compete in the Olympics every 4 years. If I ask God to take the weight away, I could never run the 3 miles in less than 18 minutes again. But if I ask God for more strength for all the burdens he's given me and all the heartaches and all the problems, then my strength will grow day by day. And when I look back 5, 10 years from now, I say, man, That was nothing. What I thought was a big burden back then, what I thought was a big problem 10 years ago, that is nothing compared to what I have now, because now I've grown spiritually and I have so much more strength spiritually now that that is no problem at all. But in my mind's eye back then, in my tunnel vision, I thought that my whole world was caving in on me. You know what I'm talking about. You have a heartache, you have a burden, you don't know how to deal with it. Well, may I suggest to you not walking away from it, but asking God for strength for Him to carry your load. Amen. Little by little. So how do I do this, Pastor? All you got to do is get up tomorrow morning. And then what do I do then, Pastor? Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Wash your face. Well, what do I do, Pastor? Just pray. Read your Bible. Don't you do those things? You do the same thing you do every day. It may hurt. You may go through the next day saying, man, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. I've gone through that way. I have no idea how I'm going to deal with this. But you know, it's amazing. When you grow, you get strength without you realizing you got the strength. Take your Bible, please, turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. World-famous pianists, listen to me good, practice, the ones who have recitals and performances internationally well-known, practice a minimum of 4 hours a day the piano. A day. You see them when you see them on television, you know, you see some guy, he's an expert pianist or something like that, you say, wow, look at him play that piano. Well, you just think it just comes like that? They practice 4 hours every day that you don't get to see. Like I said earlier, a student that goes from first grade, second grade, second, third, fourth grade, all the way up to 12th and into college, what you don't see, listen to me good, if they got good grades, what you don't see is them doing their homework all by themselves. What you don't see is them doing their paperwork diligently, answering and diligently looking in their school books and diligently studying, and then when they get their A's on their tests, it's not an accident. It's not because they cheated. It's because when everybody else wanted to play the ball games, and everybody else wanted to cut school, and everybody else wanted to joke around and not do their homework, you found out how weak in knowledge they really were when the test came around. That's why America, you know, we have this trend now, nobody wants to grade anybody. Let's get rid of all the grades because it makes the other kids feel bad if they don't get A's, you know? Just pass or fail. That's what you call stupid, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you call dumbing down people who want to do right, who want to do well. And you're rewarding people who are lazy and don't want to do their homework. But that's what's happening in America today. People are just too lazy to do what God tells them to do. God has given you the ability to live for God. You decide not to. You choose not to. You decide either I'm going to do it or I'm going to walk away. Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. And verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. It's interesting. Jesus didn't say, come unto me, all ye sluggards and lazy people. He didn't say that. If you're lazy, this is not for you this morning. I'm talking about people who are trying to be responsible and work and have burdens and pressures of life. That's what I'm talking to this morning. You don't know how to deal with your kids, your marriage, finances maybe, health worries. I don't know. I don't know what your problem is this morning. I don't know what your burden is this morning, but I'm trying to help you this morning. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that live. That's what he said in Psalm 55, by the way. Give your burden to the Lord. He'll sustain you. Not maybe, he will. Do you ever see, you know what an ox yoke is? An ox yoke ties two oxen together. Do you ever see them? You're a big old thing, wooden things usually. They got a big old bar that they're connected to. You know, the bars on either end like this is a wooden part on top. And you put the ox in there and then you tighten them up. And so they plow together, amen. They pull together, amen. Well, Jesus is our ox, amen. All you have to do is go yoke up with Jesus and let him pull with you, amen? And he'll pull your load. And you look back and say, man, how in the world did that happen? Well, Jesus did it all, amen. Because you decided to yoke up with Jesus and go the way he wanted you to go. Look at it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, lots of load, a lot of pressure, a lot of weight, a lot of burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, the oxen yoke, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Do you really believe that the God in heaven who created everything out of nothing can't handle your problems? Do you know how immature that is when you think about it? The God that made you, the God that created everything, the whole universe out of nothing, he can't take care of your problems and your burdens and your heartaches? Rather, it is us, we individually, that choose not to go to God for the help that's waiting for us. Don't get rid of your burdens, just take them to God. The God who can carry everything, the God who's made everything, is just waiting for us to come. He says, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Christian life is not that difficult. You just got to go to Jesus, amen. You just got to be willing to go to Jesus, amen. You just got to be willing to obey Jesus Christ. It's not that difficult. The difficulty part is in your mind. And get your ego out of the way and get your pride out of the way. So if you don't, Lord, I don't know how to deal with my son or my daughter. The answer is go to Jesus, amen. Go, the answer is right here in the Word of God, amen. Every answer to every problem that you've ever faced or ever will face is right here in the King James Bible. And by the way, this is why people have rejected the King James Bible. They're immature people. If you, look, if the thees and the thous are going to throw you, that's immaturity, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to tell me that the thees and the thous are the stumbling blocks for your growth in Christianity, then you don't know God. That's why people can't take old-fashioned preaching anymore. That's why they don't like old-fashioned churches anymore. That's why they don't like. They think that the songs that we sing up here, the old-fashioned hymns, they think that they're too boring. If they don't have a rock and roll beat, you know, if you don't have a long-haired hippie weirdo band over here with the drums over here, it's just too boring. You know what that is? Immaturity right there. Immaturity. The same people who can't take problems and can't take heartaches and don't know how to deal with them. And then one day snap. That's why we have a record number of people entering insane asylums today. Record number of Americans committing suicide. Record number of Americans flipping out. You know why? We've been taught to be immature instead of learning to mature and grow up. And growing up sometimes, it hurts. You know, after a workout and you're sweating, you're beat, you're tired. And it feels like, you know, why am I going through this? Well, the next day you go back to work out, you man. And the next day you go back, man. And the next day you go back, wow. Feels like I can push more weight now. I can run faster now. I can lift more now. I can take more now. Hey, the physical part is only a little worse. It's the spiritual part that you and I need to deal with, ladies and gentlemen. God will help you in all your needs. God will not give you more than you can handle. God will never give you more than you can handle. You can't handle it. You just refuse to handle it. Or you go to God for help. You say, it's too much? Is your weight too big? Is your burden too large? You can't take all this? Too much pressure in life? Or too much responsibility? Or your family, or your work, or your finances, your health. That's why people are immature in their doctrine today. Nobody wants to study. Nobody wants to read. Nobody wants to memorize. That's why soul winning. You ever notice people don't go soul winning anymore? Because what I mentioned this morning in the adult Bible study, it takes a lot of work to follow up people. It takes a lot of work to go visit people up again. So people don't go. I don't got time. I'd rather watch the idiot box, and you'd rather watch your CNN and Fox News, and you'd rather be online instead of working to help somebody else and take time out of your schedule to help somebody. Yeah. That's immaturity right there. We have a selfish society, ladies and gentlemen. Don't look at me now. I'm 56 years old. Don't look at me now. I've been saved for 35 years this month. Married for 30 years, been pastoring for 26 years. You let me take you back when I first got saved. When we first got married, we didn't have a nickel to our name. Yeah, You look at me now and say, well, Pastor, look how much God's blessed you. Look what you're doing and look what you have. And I can never be like that. Oh, no, no. You go back 35 years ago, and I'll tell you, you ever saw me, you said, man, I don't want to be like that. Yeah. Man, he don't have anything. Married, wife, two kids. He's got nothing to show for it. Yeah. You know what happened? Little by little by little by little. Put your head down to the grindstone, work your tail off. And you pop your head up later on and said, man, God, God, God. That's the only answer, God. You just put your head in the yoke and let Jesus do the work for you. And the glory will go all to Jesus Christ. At the end of your life, if you've done what's right, you say, I didn't do it. This church is not here because of John Kalita, says gentlemen. It's because some of us have put our necks in the yoke and let Jesus do the work. Amen. This church isn't here because of one person or one family or just two or three individuals. It's a result of many people, many individuals, letting Jesus Christ do the work. Amen. And we just going along with Jesus. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6, please. Galatians chapter number 6. Maybe you're not physically strong and you can't. Maybe you got physical ailments and health restraints. I understand that. And I'm not saying that we can all do everything, but everybody can do something. Everybody can pray. Everybody can witness. Everybody can give the gospel. Galatians chapter number 6, right after 2 Corinthians. Verse number 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Did you read that? Did you read that? Don't tell me that you can't. God's commanded you to. Whatever God has given you, God has given you the ability to deal with it. Whatever God's given you, whatever burden, whatever heartache, God's given you the ability to go to God and get the strength that you need to carry your burden. It's like, you know, a weightlifter. Give me a whole bunch of songbooks up here. Tim, Grayson, give me some songbooks, please. It's like, you know, a weightlifter, as I said earlier, this guy, Paul Anderson, I think his name was. That's good enough. That's good enough. Just Tim, whatever you got, bring it here. If you go, just go here like this, you say, well, I can't deal with all this weight. I can't do this anymore. What you do, what you want to do is you want to get rid of some of the weight. And say, oh, that feels better. Oh, that feels better. Oh, that feels so much better. You know what, man? We're going the right direction. This is great. Oh, man, look at this. Now I can even walk around with all this weight, man. I don't need all that weight that was carrying before. It's keeping me down. It was dragging me. I couldn't do all the other things I really wanted to do in life. I couldn't live it up and live for myself. Yeah, your vacations are more important to you. Your pleasure is more important to you. God's given you a burden to help people, ladies and gentlemen. Your own family, your neighbor, your strangers, everybody. But what you don't see is a judgment seat of Christ over here. And the Bible says we ought to run the race as if one wins the prize, Paul. And you're going to find out the people who you didn't think were doing much, they were carrying more weight, and they couldn't spend the time that you're spending doing vain things, vanity. And they're carrying this weight all their life. And they showed up at the judgment seat. They're going to get like a gold medal at the Olympic bar. While those of us, those who shirked the responsibilities and had a clean plate, no weight to carry, no responsibilities, never helped, never gave, never sacrificed, those are the immature people that you see. You may think they're getting away with it right now. You may think they live on easy street now. You may think that they have it great right now. You may think they're just enjoying their life right now. Wait to the judgment seat, ladies and gentlemen, and find out how weak they really were. It's easy to leave your wife or your husband because you don't want to deal with it. Job didn't leave his wife. If anybody had a right to leave his wife, Job had a right. My Bible says in Galatians, every man shall bear his own burden. You're not supposed to give your burden to somebody else. No. You are not supposed to give the burden that God has given you to someone else. But you are commanded in verse number 2 to help somebody else's burden. For instance, if God's given me a burden, I should not look to shirk my burden or my responsibility and share it or give it to somebody else. It's my burden. But if I see someone that has a burden, verse number 2, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So if I see somebody's got a big burden over here, it is my job, my duty, my responsibility to take on some of his burden. Say, hey, I've been saved for a little longer than you have. Let me help you here carry this burden. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me show you what the Bible says about this kind of subject right here that you're dealing with. Let me try to pray with you. Let me try to help you. Let me try to show you some Bible verse for you to memorize. Let me show you what helped me in the past. So it's my job. Verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Strong. Spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So your job is as a strong individual, spiritually, is to help somebody who is weak, spiritually. Not to tell them to get rid of the burden, just say, hey, let me carry some of the burden for you. Let me show you some things in the Bible. Let me tell you what I've been through. Let me show you some of the experience I've been through. God is true to his word. God will come through. You just be faithful to God, and God will bless, ladies and gentlemen. You obey God, and God will come through for you. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on people. They may quit on you, but don't you quit on them. Seven things. And I'll close. Number 1, in order to grow, be strong enough to carry your burdens, drink milk of the King James Bible. I don't care if it's criticized, ostracized, condemned. You make sure you read the King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Number 2, you pray on a daily basis. Get yourself in a prayer closet all by yourself and get a prayer list together and pray for people. Number 3, get yourself in an old-fashioned, Bible-believing King James Baptist church. A church that works. And this takes work when you got to be there every single Sunday. Every Sunday night or every Wednesday night, whenever you're available to come, especially if you have a family, you got to get your family ready to come to church. It takes work. Number 4, go soul winning and be a witness everywhere you go. The most important spiritual activity you'll ever do, remember, we're talking about gaining strength, like weightlifting or running, all right? The most important physical activity, spiritual, you'll ever do is tell people how to be saved from hell. Is tell people about Jesus Christ. Is to give them the gospel. Number 5, when your teeth come in, start eating meat and chew that meat. Religious vegetarians are the most immature people in churches today. They don't like meat. They just want to praise God, jump up and down, speak in foolish tongues, and see these dreams and visions that liars are telling them about. Instead of reading the Bible and studying the Bible, because it takes work to do that. Any idiot can speak in tongues, and any idiot can be fooled to say that's of God. Number 6, let others who are spiritually adult meat-eating Bible preachers and teachers teach you. Number 7, get involved in an old-fashioned King James Bible independent fundamental Baptist church that loves Jesus Christ and goes soul winning, because that is a working church of responsible people with character that are separated. Number 1, drink milk of the King James Bible. Because if that's all you got right now, just start drinking the Word of God, the milk of the Word of God. If you just got saved, like some people just gotten saved and baptized, you just drink the milk of the Word of God. Number 2, pray on a daily basis. Number 3, be in church. It takes work to be in church, but be in church every time you're able to. Number 4, go soul winning and be a witness everywhere you go. Number 5, when your teeth come in, spiritual teeth, start eating meat that you can chew on, amen. If you do not use the King James Bible, you're very weak spiritually. You ought to read it. You ought to listen to it. You ought to memorize the King James Bible. Number six, let others who are spiritually adult, meat-eating Bible preachers and teachers teach you. I don't need any of this lukewarm, soft, milquetoast radio or televangelist teaching the Bible when they don't even use a King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen. And number seven, then get involved in an old-fashioned King James Bible independent Baptist church that loves Jesus Christ and goes soul winning. And I'm telling you, listen to me good, you'll look back 1 or 2 years, 5, 10 years later, say, wow. Wow. What happened? Wow. And it won't be you. You'll realize it was the same book, the same God that's been helping people for the last 6,000 plus years, ladies and gentlemen, who have surrendered to Jesus Christ and been willing to obey God. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. That's what my Bible says. Psalm 55, verse number 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Watch this. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If you're doing what's right, God's not going to let you fall. God's not going to let you fail. You may think, the devil may whisper in your ear and say, I can't take all this pressure. I don't know what to do. Why is this happening to me? Go to God. Go to the Word of God. And you do that on a consistent basis, and you will see yourself growing. You may not see it, but you'll come after year, 5 years later, 10 years later, you say, wow. Wow, God did it. God did it. Not because we're smart, not because we're good, but because of God. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us. I look back, Lord, just on my life and think how far you've brought me up out of the miry clay, dear God, and set my feet on a rock. Dear Holy Ghost of God, thank you, Lord, for the power through soul winning. Thank you for the power of prayer, the power of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching I've heard all these years, for 35 plus years. I thank you, dear God, that you allowed me to grow. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. And little did I know, some 25, 30, 35 years ago, that I was drinking milk, that I'd be serving meat. I thank you, dear God, for the way you loved us. I thank you for dying on the cross for us. I thank you, dear God, that you took all our burdens, even our iniquities and our other burdens on the cross and paid for them. It's a shame for people to die and go to hell when you took all their burden of their iniquities and paid for them. What they need to do is come to thee. And my prayer this morning, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, may they trust you this morning. If there's anybody in this room who they do not know where they're going to go when they die, may today, may they realize for the first time they can have eternal salvation. Please bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. Christians, praying, please.